In John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples at that time, and then also for us who would believe. The message that the disciples began to preach, this gospel, so it's us as well. And Jesus is praying, and he says in verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them my words, you gave me, and they accepted them. Very important, what this prayer of Jesus. They knew with certainty, this is the revelation of, this is what faith is all about, they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them, and I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you may protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I set myself apart, so that they too may be truly set apart. And he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be also in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We can carry on over there. Let's go back to last Sunday. Last Sunday, I think quite a few would experience it was quite a heavy Sunday. It wasn't easy going, and many have been sharing the reality of what warfare is all about. Somehow, people think as Christians that when you go into battle, not going to face the enemy. Somehow you think war is like those, but you're in a war, you're going to face a battle. There's conflict, there's warfare. And so for us, there's warfare, but there's not defeat. Okay, and that's what we want to just build on to understand the new covenant over here. And so I know from my own experience on Saturday already, I began to just experience that there's an attack to take my life. And I could experience that incredible, just wanted to take my life. That was the main thing. And Sunday as well, early in the morning, and I get up there or still in bed, I'm experiencing this spirit of death trying to take my life and just the journey. And so Sunday, it's Pentecost Sunday, and it's a real, it's about the Holy Spirit, it's about the life of the Holy Spirit, it's about the incredible gift that God has promised about the Holy Spirit. And for me personally, it was like God wasn't here. It was tough going, because the spirit of death was trying to assassinate what God's wanting to do to touch a nation. Because we believe and we prophesy and we're decreeing for a move of God by the Holy Spirit based on the reality of the covenant. And so we started to look more and more last Sunday about the way God will deal with mankind. It's always been via a covenant that He makes. So right from Genesis right through, all the time we see God making covenant with certain people and with a nation, because that's the way that God will now relate with man and how man will relate with God. And so we went through that reality of covenant, and we could see throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament is such an incredible inspiration to see the truth of God relating with man and man relating with God. His incredible commitment and His faithfulness regarding what He has spoken concerning His covenant, despite everything and all the mistakes that we see in the Old Testament. God, He made covenant, and we see the fulfillment of that. So when, for instance, when God made the covenant with Abraham, remember in Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, Abraham, this was going to take place, but your descendants are going to be taken to another country and eventually be enslaved for 400 years. God had made covenant. So now we see Joseph. Joseph is living out from that covenant God made with Abraham. Because Joseph, God gave him a promise, and we see there in his dreams, and then he's put into prison, and he's falsely accused, and all that kind of stuff. And eventually Pharaoh has the dreams, and he's there. What's happening there? God made covenant with Abraham that you guys are going to go into a foreign country. So Joseph is living out the reality of how God relates with mankind in bringing about what He has promised Abraham. See, covenant is crucial. That's how God relates with you and I, and that's how we relate with God, on the terms and conditions of how what He has said in the covenant. And so last Sunday we began to look at the reality of Jesus, because with His blood He brought in a new covenant. Remember, Jesus is not from the line of the priest of Levi, you see, because then it won't be a new covenant. He is now from the line of Melchizedek, okay, this high, great high priest. And so now Jesus brings in the reality of the new covenant. So now, with Jesus, He's showing us how our God is going to be relating with us and how we will be relating with Him. And part of that covenant, the incredible joy of the covenant, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because we have received the Holy Spirit, we are now able to enter into the reality of what this new covenant is that Jesus has made for you and I. And how our Father will relate with you and I, and how we can relate with our Father. And that's why we looked at, by the Spirit of God, we can say, Abba, Father. Okay. And so the Holy Spirit brings in the reality of the Father and the Son dwelling within us, as we looked at last Sunday. So when Jesus prayed there, or spoke there in John 14, and He speaks about the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, and it's the Father doing the work within me. But He says something very interesting. He said, it's the Father living in me. That's profound to suddenly realize, but this is, God is living in me. Jesus is saying the Father is living in me. It's not something far away, living in Him, doing His work. This is the oneness. Jesus is living as a man, fully divine, but here, remember, He set aside His glory. He's living as a man. And so He's saying, guys, the Father, this oneness that I and the Father have, the Father living in me by the Holy Spirit, because remember, Jesus also was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, the same oneness you and I can experience because of the covenant that He has made, that we can receive the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus says over here, I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So this is this incredible oneness that we are speaking about. And then it carries on, my Father will love him, and we will come in him and make our home with him. So the Holy Spirit makes the reality of this new covenant where the Father and the Son come and dwell within us by the Holy Spirit. So we experience this indwelling of the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and this is the reality of a covenant that we now have received because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we were busy looking at last Sunday. Now, Jesus goes and to understand that what Jesus is saying in the Gospels, you've got to understand that Jesus is speaking covenant language all the time. It's very important. So when Jesus is praying and he says over here, Father, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us so that the world will believe that you have sent me. This is covenant language that Jesus is speaking and praying. Because he's bringing in a new covenant. So all his teaching that he's busy doing, he's showing you that's old covenant, but this is the new covenant that I'm bringing in when I die. The blood is the blood of the covenant. Okay. And so, if you've got to understand, so when you read this, like John 17 and all those, John 14, 15, and 16, you've got to see it through the reality of a covenant that Jesus is wording, he's expressing the reality of a new covenant, and he's praying for that now to become a reality after his death and resurrection. Okay, so that's what's taking place in this. So what's important, first of all, when Jesus prays and he says over there, Father, protect them from the evil one. I'm not taking them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one by the name you gave me. Remember when Jesus was to be born, the angel said you ought to name him Jesus. Okay, and so the name Jesus, the Father has given the name Jesus to his Son. And so now we begin to realize, but Father, your Son, while he was on the earth, he has already prayed to you for our divine protection. Covenant. And this is the key, one of the keys for today, is to begin to believe, but Lord, you've prayed for us. You've prayed to the Father to keep us. You prayed to our Father, your Father, our Father, for his protection in your name. It's time to receive what Jesus has prayed. It's time for us to believe what Jesus has prayed. We will still have warfare, but we will not have defeat. We will still have enemy coming to steal, rob, and destroy, but we will not have defeat because we fully believe that our Father will protect us because his Son has prayed and asked his Father. And this is where we need to begin to be established in that. So when all the attacks come over there, whoa, be still, you see, and know that I'm God. So now we get to the place, but God, thank you. You have prayed for us, Jesus. And Father, thank you. I receive and I believe and I take hold. You begin to understand what the armor of God is all about because it's about Jesus. We are clothed in him. See, it opens up a dimension. It opens up a depth. It opens up another depth into a divine protection. So when Monday morning, when I'm asking the Lord, what actually happened on Sunday and Saturday, etc., etc. And so I said, Father, please father me in this here, because I just need you to give me understanding of what was taking place. And straight away, he took me to, it's in Psalm 144, verse 1. Where, let me read it there. Listen to this. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdue people under me. And it carries on. And another one is Psalm 18, and the amazing Psalm, the whole of Psalm 18. But here is all of a sudden what God spoke to me that Monday morning was, I'm training your hands for battle. Because we're praying for a nation. So there's a different way now. There's a different understanding of what Christ has done so that we can proclaim and we can prophesy and we can decree what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. And that is why what God wants to share is the revelation of the covenant, so that we will be established and live in the reality of this whole new covenant. Okay, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to open up over there. You will begin to hear the prophets around the nation starting to prophesy concerning the revelation of the Father, our Heavenly Father. More and more you're going to start to hear, because that's what the Holy Spirit is taking us. Because the covenant is all about, through Jesus, how the Father and the Son will be relating with us by the Holy Spirit, and how we relate back to the Father. And so you will begin to hear more and more about the time of the Father being made known to the nation. Okay, so understand that now. Another, just quickly, Psalm 127. This is an important one as well. When God said, I want to train your hands for battle. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, we watch in vain. See, so what God wants to help us, He wants to train us so that we can partner with Him, we can participate. Covenant is all about how God partners with us and how we partner with Him. And the new covenant, the oneness, it's the Father living in us doing His work. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay, so this is the oneness that we're speaking about. So this incredible oneness that Jesus prayed for, we need to receive by faith and start to believe by faith. Every promise, everything Jesus prayed is yes in His name. So amen. So now we begin to realize, but Lord, You are teaching us now how You're training us for battle. Unless You build, we can try and solve this, we can try and solve that, we can try do this, we can try do that, and it'll all be in vain. He's inviting us to partner with Him as by the Holy Spirit He starts to show us how to war, training us for war, training our hands for battle. The reality of what it is to be established in the new covenant. What it is to be in the reality that Jesus has prayed to the Father to protect us by His name. He's not taking us out of the world. We're in this world. We're not of this world. How are we going to live in the promise of the new covenant? This is all going to be new. This is where we're going to learn how to discern, how to grow. We're not going to be using the weapons of yesterday. We're dealing with a nation now. We're going to be using weapons that God will share with us in the fullness of who Christ Jesus is. Jesus is the weapon. Okay, and so we're going to learn how to really live in the fullness. That's why Paul prays that we may have insight so that we can grow up into the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the journey. Where we are right now. So that's going to be short. I don't know, maybe. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1. Because this is now what we're speaking about, that He wants to just open up a little bit this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read quite a few scriptures over here. The whole chapter 1. But I want us to hear it from the covenant that Christ has made. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Just that very first word there, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Here we see the life of Paul, your life, my life, and how God works it all out according to his incredible will for our lives. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that Paul is going to now begin to share is because this is incredible grace and the peace that flows from this grace that comes from our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. Now look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's the verse we're coming back to, because this is a verse that God wants to let us partner in, to be able to receive the Father's blessing this morning and the inheritance that comes with his blessing over our lives. Okay. Now we carry on in verse 4. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. New covenant, that we can once again know our God as our Father, children of God. Okay? Everything that Jesus did was to bring us back, to be reconciled back to God, so that we can be family. We are his family. He's our Father. Our Lord Jesus is our King brother. Let me carry on. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. This is the fact. It's not, this is going to take place. This is the fact. This is what's taken place. This is new covenant language. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect with when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head in Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. That's the apostles. And then he goes, but you also were added, that's us, in Christ, included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And then he prays, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What did Jesus say when he was praying in John 17? And he says, Father, I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as you and I are one. What is our inheritance? This glorious inheritance. This is the reality that we don't really know. This is something that the Spirit of God wants to open up for us to understand, this incredible glory that Jesus has given to us, that we may be one as he and the Father are one. This incredible glory, this inheritance in Christ Jesus, that we may begin to discover what that's all about. So we go back to verse 3, and Paul writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Paul is not saying over here, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who maybe will be going to be blessing us. This is a done deal. Christ, what he has done in his death and resurrection, it's a done deal. He is the reality of the new covenant. So here we see the Father. Now all of a sudden we see that because of Jesus, because of the covenant, this is a new way that our Father is relating with us. He has already blessed us. Have we received it? We know in the Old Testament, and I think the Old Testament helps us understand the language. Let's take Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. Well, let's take Jacob, whose latest name was called Israel. What was the pattern? What was the reality when we see over there where the two brothers come and steal one another's birthright? What took place? The father would lay his hand on the son and speak a blessing and speak about a inheritance. So you take, for instance, when Jacob began to bless his 12 sons, each and every one, he would lay hand and he would pronounce a blessing that included the inheritance. Prophetic, what's going to take place with their whole generation, with their bloodline. He began to speak and prophesy all those things. So for instance, when he came to Judah, he prophesied about a ruler coming out of your generation bloodline. So here we see our Heavenly Father leaning forwards. Remember what grace is? Grace is God himself leaning forwards, giving himself to you and I without any hesitation. Tremendous favor because of what Christ has done. So here our Heavenly Father is leaning forwards and he lays hands on you and I, and he now begins to bless us. He has blessed us through his Son Jesus Christ. And he's proclaimed our inheritance in his Son Jesus Christ. And so he prays that the Spirit of God will give wisdom and revelation, that we begin to know this incredible inheritance, that we can now begin to live out that the blessing that is over us by our Heavenly Father. And I got to the place where I realized God has blessed me so many times, but I've never got to the place where I sat down and I knelt before Father and I thank you, Father, and I could sense his hand over me, blessing me, imparting his blessing over my life. And I received it. I received the Father's blessing. And I said, Father, I receive it. I need now by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit to help me to be able to live out in the fullness of the inheritance you have given me. Each and every one of us, our Father has pronounced a blessing, released a blessing through Jesus and inheritance. Holy Spirit, in enabling you and I to be able to live out all that God has destined for us to live out. But we need to receive it by faith. We need to want it by faith. We need to be able to say, Father, thank you. You have blessed me. And I receive it. You need to then begin to understand that Jesus has prayed, Father, protect them from the evil one. They're still in this world. That thief will try and steal that dream. That thief will try and steal that inheritance. But I prayed for you. Peter had an inheritance to really begin to be the one to start off the whole kingdom message in this world after Christ. And Satan came and asked Jesus, I want to sift him. And Jesus said, I prayed for you, Simon Peter. You're going to have a bit of a wobbly, but I prayed because you have an inheritance. You've got a calling. You've got a purpose in life. I prayed for you. And look at Peter's life. Look at you and I today. Because Jesus prayed. Jesus has prayed for you and I. Father, protect them by my name. That we can live out the inheritance. He's given us Holy Spirit to come and live within us, to show us, to open up, to lead us, that we can walk in this glorious inheritance that's in us as children of God. And then he says, but now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. So, this is the time where you and I can say, thank you, Father, for you laying hands on my head and imparting your Father blessing, God Almighty blessing you and I. Receive it by faith. The blessing of this glorious inheritance, God has put his Spirit in us. That we can walk in his ways. We can know and we can live in power of the Holy Spirit. And a great joy is that God has put it in all of us as his believers. So as we walk as one another, fully being united as one in the Father and the Son, knowing this reality, there's this incredible unity that takes place with us. It's a natural outflow of oneness amongst one another. So together, each one, the inheritance flowing together, and we see the fullness of God being made known in this nation. Guys, today we're going to have communion, and it could be we'll pray before that. You may want to just receive by faith what God has really blessed us through Jesus Christ. And then after that, we're going to sing Yvonne's song. It's the blessing. But now we'll sing it from an understanding of covenant. And we're going to bless our nation because our Father through his Son Jesus. So you can change the words and bless the nation because of what Christ has done, the mediator of a new covenant. And that's going to be the weapon for the day to break what the demonic forces are trying to do. If you bless the nation, if you bless the believers, that they can get an understanding of what it is to live blessed by the Father. This will bring tremendous healing. When people begin to say, Father, my life is so messed up, I can need, and you can stay in that pit over there, you can say, but Jesus, but you, in you, Father, I receive your blessing over my life. Thank you. Stand up. Begin to walk. Yield it to him. Love him. And live in the reality of what it is to be loved by the Father. To live in his blessing all the time. So, That's why we don't become rebellious children, because we rebel against the incredible blessing. You remember what? You can't take away the Ten Commandments. If we don't honor our parents, it goes bad. We have a Father who's blessed us. We honor Him. We receive the blessing, and we value that blessing that He's placed on our lives. And we start to see the covenant. So many of us would want to focus on, I need the car, I need the house, I need this and that. And Jesus says, that's okay, but I want you to seek first the kingdom. Because if the Father's blessing is all about the reality of what it is to be a child in His kingdom and how to be effective so that He's glorified here on this earth. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll have communion, and it's time, personal time with our Father. Father, we stand here this morning and sit here this morning so aware of the open heaven, so aware of You leaning forwards for each and every one, just what You have done through Jesus. But today is the day for appropriating that blessing, is to receive Your hand, is to receive the inheritance for each one, to receive the inheritance, Father, for our communities, for our family, for our nation, wherever we may be right now. Jesus, thank You as we partake, as we just drink together, we celebrate, as we are seated with You in the heavenly realms, we want to celebrate Your blood, Your body broken for us, Your blood for the new covenant. And just because of this new covenant, Father, we can relate with You differently to what anybody else did before. And You relate with us through Jesus. So we can stand and we can say, and because of this new covenant, there's no condemnation for us who believe. We can stand before You, Father, with boldness, enter into the realm of grace to receive mercy, to receive Your incredible love, to live loved by You because of new covenant through Jesus. How You relate with us, because Christ, He took our place as a man. He has done it all for us, Jesus Christ. And that's why this morning, Lord, I believe You were blessed. We could just sing, You are just Jesus, and proclaim Your name, because what You have done for us. And we want to thank You for Holy Spirit's ministry in revealing this, Father, to our nation all over, to the body of Christ and to the unsaved, that each one will begin to have such a revelation of Jesus Christ and what it is, particularly the family of Yours, Father, and that we can live in the fullness of what it is, what this new covenant is all about, this glorious inheritance in us, You in us, living Your life in and through us in You, not being orphans, but being Your children. We'll begin to understand what it is to live constantly in the reality of Your love that You've lavished over us. Generosity love, big love. We can live and be rooted and established in this, Father, that we as this family of Yours will not be intimidated running around in fear because of what people are saying or politicians are saying or what this, but we will be people that will rise, Father, vibrant, full of hope, full of power, full of just light, just walking with courage and confidence, because we know You and we know what the covenant's all about, and we know how You watch over Your word, seeing it being fulfilled. Knowing that Your Son has prayed for us and we receive the answer. We want to thank You that we are rising up to be an answer, a living example, a living proof of the prayers of Jesus, our King brother, being answered by You, Father, that You will be glorified. And we thank You for that. Today, Father, in Your presence, Spirit of Truth is ministering to us. Thank You. Every lie, every deception, the history of the past, all of these things washed away because of the new covenant blood of Jesus. And we thank You. So as we have communion with you, Lord, as we eat, thank you for the angels to come and minister to each one of us. And we receive today from you what you're wanting to share as we come and kneel before you, Father, letting you place your hand over us and blessing us, our Father. And we thank you for this because of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. What you have done for us is so, so big, so beautiful. We understand in this love of yours is no selfishness at all. It is so generous for all mankind to come home and be with you, Father. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening up more. This we receive through you, Jesus Christ. Amen.